The recording has started. Thank you, Kylie. So that means we are starting. All right, everybody. Dylan, why don't you start with the set-aside prayer for fear, and then we're going to do a meditation, and then we're going to get into the work.
God, please enable me to see the truth about my fears.
That's very simple. All right. Tyler, you going to do the meditation?
Yep, I got it.
All right, all, let's meditate, and then we'll get right back to it, okay?
Okay, back to you.
All right. Hi, everyone. How are you doing? My name is Josie. I'm a crystal meth addict and alcoholic.
Hold on, Joe. Would everybody please mute Donna, Jessica?
And I think
Wendy. Debbie, would you please mute, honey? Thank you. Okay, go on, Joe.
All right. So here we are. We're about to get into fear inventory tonight. I do want to ask first. So I have notes, obviously, of everything. Did Wendy get on? Wendy, are you on?
No, I'm sorry. I don't know if Wendy.
She's here.
Okay. Oh. And then the Mafia's on. Okay, I think everyone's here. 28 participants. We're about right. Okay, cool. Everyone's here. All right. So tonight we're getting into the second inventory. We're just finished resentment inventory. And I do want to go back and look at if anyone still has any fourth column that they're struggling with. And I had some notes that I wrote myself about, you know, reminding myself why I'm writing inventory. Okay. That I'm not writing this to find out better about myself. I'm going to see a lot of delusions about myself, and I'm going to find out more about what I've become, you know, and I'm writing this inventory to face and be rid of the things that are blocking me from myself, from God, and from other people. It's going to tell me that again in the fifth step. You'll hear it in a couple weeks when Tyler goes over it. I'm trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with my God, and discover the obstacles in my path. This attitude that I'm trying to get, you know, Dr. Jung talks about it. I need a complete, a vital spiritual experience attitudes, emotions are what's the driving force. These people are suddenly cast to one side. You know, I need a new attitude in my life. When I'm writing the realization, I should have started to see a little bit of that come to life, this attitude, the things that change within me. When I'm writing the third column, I start to see. So when I'm writing inventory and I'm writing the third column, I'm seeing the false notions and the delusions in my, the thinking in the third column. For me to live by this thinking in the third column, it's very difficult. I'm going to have a very difficult life living the life that I'm living in the third column. I'm either going to write it or I'm going to live it. And as of right now, I've been living it, you see. And so here we are getting it down to paper because we're going to write about it. We're going to face it to be rid of it. Remember, we talked about the best a therapist could ever do for me was tell me how to cope with things. This is not looking at the third column to see these ideas and these false notions in the third column to cope with them as they come up later. This is about facing them to be rid of them. You know, this stuff that's driven by fear, which we're going to get into tonight, the fear which fuels the third column, which fuels the fourth column, you know, this is driving my life, right? This attitude, this change that has to come over me, I can't do this on my own, right? And I need a complete psychic change. And I got to see this in the inventory that I'm writing. And I should, when I'm writing inventory, I start to get free with seeing the ridiculousness of the inventory that I'm writing. Seeing, and if I look in the security section, you know, what I need to be okay, operating in a world that I'm operating in with all these things that I need to be okay. I need this from this person. I need this from this person. I can't do this without being okay. It's a very hard place to live. And that's where I've been living. And I don't want to live there anymore. This is about getting free. My attitude of freedom that I need to get here through this inventory process. And I can't live chained. Okay. I can't continue to live in fear. I can't continue to live change the person that I have become, the person I was before I ever started drinking and using, the person I was while drinking and using, suffering from the spiritual malady when the drugs and alcohol weren't working, and the person I become sober now. I got to get free from this, okay? A couple notes. With this attitude change, you know, I know a lot of people in the rooms and the meetings that I've been to, they want to talk about praying for someone for 2 weeks to get over resentment. You know, who the fuck has 2 weeks anyway, okay? First of all, I'm not praying for 2 weeks. It's bullshit. I do what's in the front of the book before I get into the back of the book. I better write inventory first and then use prayer after I've done inventory. I do not use the back of the book as an excuse not to do the stuff in the front of the book. I'm writing inventory. Inventory there is a tool. And it is a tool from now on, you see. I wrote inventory right now, and I'm going to continue to write inventory as a tool in my life. I will have blank inventory sheets still. I used to have them everywhere I would go. I kept some in my car. I had them under the bed. You know, they were everywhere because I might need to pull one out. And then I had inventory. I knew it so well that I could do it on my phone, my little notes on my phone, and just write out a little inventory if I needed to write it out, because it is a tool for me to use from here on out, you know. But praying for people, I never got free from that. It didn't work for me. You know, the lies I want to tell myself and the self-help, you'd be very careful. I'm very careful to stay grounded in this program. Facts, fact finding and fact facing. I'm sticking with the facts, and I'm very factual and I'm very grounded. I knew a girl who was so spiritual, she floated from a meeting and went into the bar and she drank. You know what I mean? And that's the truth. She was so spiritual, she floated right to the bar. And then she couldn't get sober anymore. And I know her name. I'm not going to say it because a lot of people know her, but that's what happens. I have to stay grounded, and this inventory keeps me grounded. It keeps me in the reality of my life, me, the director who's the actor, who's the producer of confusion. I'm assigning roles to you. I'm assigning roles to me. The false notions in the third column that I'm living by, this stuff is real. Okay. It's very real. And it is a hard life. It's hard to live life not writing inventory, okay? I also wanted to mention my experience with BBA. This might not be everyone's experience. Now, this is a disease of separation. It separates me from me. It separates me from you. It separates me from God. I've been separated from all three of these things. And when that happens, I'm drunk and I'm loaded, okay? I've always been separated from this. As I'm continuing to do this process and I'm here getting sober, I'm starting to get a new relationship with people. I'm starting to get a new relationship with myself, and I'm starting to get a new relationship with God. And I had taken the work, this was the first few years of my sobriety, I had taken the work that I'd done in this program, and I had taken it and I used it as a means to separate me from people. I've put me in a place that I'm better than them, that I know more than them. Oh, look how spiritual I am with the resentment inventory that I'm doing that they're not doing in the rooms. And I think that that's bullshit. And I need to get out of that, because this is a newcomer will sense that, a newcomer will sense that attitude in the rooms. And I'm not here for that. I'm here because I'm sick. I'm sick like others, and I'm doing this work to get free. And other people don't have to do the work like I have to do the work. And I'm very clear on that. So the work that they do, they can get just as free from that. And I do criticize sometimes inventory. I criticize praying for people because that shit didn't work for me, but it works for a lot of people. So I don't want you to think that I'm here on my high horse, that I'm better than anyone or better than anyone in the program, because there's a lot of people with more sobriety than me, and they might be happier than me at certain times in my life. And I just do what I need to do that works for me. Okay, so God bless anyone. My hat's off to anyone. If they can live a happy, sober life and they don't have to do the steps that I have to do, then more power to them. I'm not here in BBA and doing this work this way and dissecting the big book to make myself look better than other people. It's more because I'm probably sicker than other people. And the other way wasn't working. I couldn't get sober. Remember, I'm not here because of my own virtue. I'm here because of grace. And I'm here because alcohol and drugs had beat me into a state of reasonableness. And that's why I do this work, because nothing else would work for me, okay? So staying grounded in fact, the disease of separation. I wanted to bring these points up because they're on my heart and they're on my mind, because in inventory, we can get really carried away with ourselves, you know what I mean? And I could look at inventory and I could start turning this into self-help, and it's not self-help. This is not self-help. This is a spiritual program. This is a spiritual process. I'm not going in here to find out about me to fix me later, because we're coming up on 5, 6, and 7. And when I see the delusions and the fears, I can't do anything about those. And when I see the selfish attitudes and the selfish thinking and or the actions, and I want to think that I can fix me, I think I'm going to go into this world and I know who I'm going to be as a sober person. I'm going to act my way into better thinking. I'm going to tell people that they need to act better, and I'm going to fake it till I make it and all this bullshit, you know? And I can't do that. It doesn't work for me, all right? I'm not lying to myself anymore. I've done it for so many years. Okay. So I want to ask anyone, is there anyone that still has anything in the fourth column that they might have questions about, or they might be needing help with, or anything in fourth column? Anyone? You can unmute yourself and speak up if you have anything. Is everyone caught up?
Yeah, who's not?
Hold on.
Let's ask that.
Go ahead, Chris. Joe?
I'm here.
So I was having, when we were going through everything last week on the fourth column, yeah. I had a question, because I believe when I was doing mine, I was adding things in that I shouldn't be adding. So for instance, I was talking about, you know, my stuff, but I was also talking about how it was affecting her, instead of leaving that to the harms, I think.
Read it. Yeah. So, and you know what, if you have a little bit written in the self-seeking behavior and a lot in the harms, there's probably a problem there. Because if you're causing a lot of harm, there's probably a lot of behavior that went along with it. I'm just saying. No.
Yeah, and I think I have the harms up in the fourth column. That's where I thought I did it wrong, probably.
Why don't you read it? Are you okay reading it on group level?
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I just reading the fourth column?
Why don't you read the
name and the cause?
The cause. Okay. And then we'll go over to the fourth column. Yeah, name and cause. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go to the fourth column.
So Heidi, which is my wife. Okay.
She not listening, right? I mean, this is
no, crazy,
right?
God, no.
Okay. She don't know the website.
So you want just the target, right?
No, just read the whole thing and the target.
Okay. So my wife. So the cause. God, it's. her getting sick, putting into jeopardy my plan, future life plans, lack of intimacy after getting sick, not being supportive, kind enough to me, pressuring me to quit things that are important to me, not taking care of me in my disease. And my target is she has not been a supporting, loving partner and won't be there in my life forever as she promised. And this won't be, and I won't, thus won't be able to take care of me. So I will end up alone.
Okay. So let's go to your fourth column.
So my fourth, self-seeking, my self-seeking actions were terrible and hurtful, causing her pain and fear, making her not trust me. I worry more about me than helping her manage her health, causing her unneeded stress, sleepless nights, panic attacks, etc.
Okay, that's good.
Selfish, my selfish attitudes have made her life miserable, full of fear, unable to trust me and others. I lied to get what I want. I did not take.
That's more self-seeking actions. So the attitude is, while I was doing these above actions, while I'm doing all this stuff, I'm tormenting her. You know, you even said in the cause, like, she was getting sick, but then she wasn't taking care of you because you're sick. So you're being hypocritical there. So like,
yes.
These things, I'm just saying. So the self-seeking actions, while I was doing these actions, what was the attitude that I might have been thinking or that I was portraying while I'm doing these actions? That my life is more important than hers and she doesn't mean as much as I do, that my disease is more important than her disease. You know, like, what's the attitude that you have going on there?
I did not care if my actions hurt her. I only cared about what I
myself
wanted to make and, myself and how I feel good. Perfect.
That's good. So keep it to that. I only cared about myself, my disease, and how I was affected and didn't take her into consideration. Done.
Correct.
Okay.
Dishonest, I was in the delusion that I was a good provider, a strong and loving husband, when I actually let her down constantly with my lying, broken promises, isolation, and bad attitude.
So I would just keep it to, I was in the delusion that I was a good provider and a good husband.
Okay. And then I kept going. I said I did not care if my lying caused her pain as long as I got what I wanted.
Now that's, you're going into harms now. Yeah. Or that's more self-seeking.
Okay.
So just keep the delusion to, I was in delusion that I was really a good husband and a good provider for her.
Got it.
Then what's the fear underneath that?
The fear underneath that?
Yeah, underneath that delusion.
That I'm not good enough.
That she's going to leave me and I'm going to be alone maybe?
That's the top of my list of fears.
Okay.
Is being unloved and alone.
Okay.
And not respected.
Wait, Chris.
Yeah.
The fear on the bottom of the fourth column is like, it can be a couple fears, but it's more of a statement than just listing them.
Okay, I don't know if I did that.
Joe just said
that. I already said it for you.
Yeah, Joe said it. I'm afraid I'm going to be alone and there's no one to take care of me.
I'm afraid that I'm not able to take care of this relationship and that she's going to leave me and no one's going to be there for me. Something around that nature. Like, it's a statement there.
Okay, thank you.
And I wouldn't list anything else. See, look, when you're working with people, when it comes to the self, a lot of people might not see that or they might mix that. I ask a lot of questions like, what did you do? What's going on? You know, I'll get more on the story sometimes because I will correct inventory. I will, you know how we just talked about it. So that was perfect example. Great job.
Okay.
And then what was the harm? You have a list of harms, right? Because there was some obviously you said.
What I have put so far, I caused her fear, hopelessness, regret, broken heart, not being the man that she thought I should be. I was selfish, full of self-pity, a bulldozer, and dishonest.
Perfect. I think you're gonna have to put Joe there. I think
sum that up though. Go ahead.
You're going to have to put some specifics.
Yeah. But in this part of the harm, you might not have to be as specific because you will be specific when we get to the cards. So in this, you could just put, I harmed my relationship with my wife by being a, a bad husband and doing bad things to her, whatever you want to put in there. Because when you get in the harms, you're going to be listing all the, you're going to be listing it anyway. Because when you go to make the amends, you're going to have a list of it. So okay. You could be, there's only one sentence there, for God's sakes. I mean, you'd have to get another page, it sounds like.
Unfortunately, yeah.
So you could be a little bit general there. And then when it comes to the cards, we're going to get more specific. So when I'm working okay. with, we're going to break it down one by one. Like, well, what did you really do? You know? So,
okay.
And then as you're writing this, if you've also harmed someone else whose relationship in relation with your wife, you're going to put that down too. I harmed her job because she couldn't go to work. I'm just using this example. She didn't go to work while she was dealing with my shit. You know what I mean? So like, if you harmed her, you want to look around the resentment too. And if something else crops up, if I'm writing inventory on my sister and I see that that brings up a harm that I did to my mother, I'm putting that down at the bottom. Okay.
So would not, this include not my every kids?
Inventory is very specific that way. I'm going to see stuff from other things that when I'm writing an inventory, because it's about me in the fourth column and the harms I've done. What's that?
Okay. Would that include like my children also?
Absolutely. List it in there.
Okay. Yes.
And then we'll get specific in the cards, exactly what you did to the kids. You can put a harm my wife, my kids, her job, her mother, you know, get at it, all of it.
Right. Joe, can I say something for a minute? Because sure. We used to do, like you're saying, more general harms. I get way more specific now than I used to in the resentment inventory, because that way I can look at it when I'm here in the fifth.
That's fine.
Does that make sense?
We're talking about it in the fifth anyway. I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. And we're going to talk about it again in 8 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to get talked about no matter what.
Okay.
Are you good?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay. Does anyone else have one? Beware, writing it with me is a little different. I'm going to talk about it. No? Is everyone caught up? D, you know, I wrote some with you.
Yes, I know, and I loved it. And me and Shakira talked about it, and we'll be going over it on Thursday.
I told you that thing. Okay, good.
But we'll talk after, okay? We'll talk after the meeting.
Sounds good. Vanessa wrote something in the chat. Not cut up, but will be by the next time. Okay, and then with Tyla, what she put out there, you're going to have time when Jose speaks on forgiveness. That's another week that you'll be able to, because there's not really homework there, right, Tyla? So people will be able to catch up some there.
Right.
The 2 weeks for fifth step.
It would be good for them to schedule their fifth step after July 6th. But you don't, if you want to schedule it between July 29th and July 6th, which is a holiday weekend, go on and do it,
right?
Because you're going to still hear Jose on forgiveness, which is the way you go into 9 anyway. We go to them in a helpful and forgiving spirit.
Yeah.
So,
but there will be time to catch up a little bit if you're behind, but I would really get it done, because fear grids next, then we have sex, and then we're into it. Okay. So when you,
can I ask,
go ahead, Robert,
real quick. So as you were going over that with Chris, I find like with a lot of these, I write, you know, I can come up with something for the harm, right? But I feel like I'm not seeing all of it on a lot of these. So
go ahead.
Just to where I'm anticipating more to come out in a fifth step with a lot of these.
Yeah.
Is that a fair assumption?
That's fine. Yes. You might not see everything. I've had people say I've not harmed them at all. And then we get to talking about it more. And it's like, oh, yeah, you have. And then I see people that have all this harm, and it's like, well, you know, what are we going to actually make amends for, and what are we not? That doesn't matter here. We're still writing down the harm that we're aware of. And then when we're talking about in the fifth step, we're going to get deeper. And then when we're doing it on the cards, it's going to be an actual, what is a real harm and what is a, a what is that? Foolish harm, what is gonna cause more harm? Then we really break down. That's why you have to get specific with the harms, because I have to know, is this gonna cause more harm if I go to this person and do this amends? Is this really a harm, or is this me in my head feeling guilty about some shit that I want forgiveness for, because I'm not going into harms to get forgiveness, because then I turn it into a selfish thing. So that's why in the eighth step, when we go over the cards, it's very specific about what is a harm, what is not a harm, what I'm going to amend, what I'm not going to amend. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay.
So perfect. If you're not seeing something there, like Tyler said, we'll talk about it in the fifth step, and then we'll really get into it in the cards when we go over the cards. And it's a very good practice to get into the cards and look with someone, like, what is really a harm and what's not. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you.
But you should be fine with what you suspect is a harm right now, and then we'll talk more about it during the fifth step. That clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hi, Joe. Mariana here. Would you mind going over some examples again of the fourth column, like under self-seeking, selfish, dishonest, and afraid? Just some examples.
Like, what do you mean, examples?
Well, I think I'm probably getting caught up in it too much, but I just wanted to be clear in my own head about, like, what is self-seeking behavior? What is it? I think I'm caught up in that.
You know, we can do it on Sunday because of the time limit. But one of the things is that Joe said is that don't get worried. If you write selfish and self-seeking and self-seeking and selfish, don't get too caught up in that.
Okay.
Because sometimes it's hard to understand, don't you think, Joe, in the first time through?
Yeah, well, it's just you're going to look more towards actions and then underneath those an attitude. So, like, what I do with the attitude is, I might not have been thinking it while I was doing the actions, but if I'm looking in the director's chair still, like I have been in the third column, and I'm seeing me do this stuff to this person, like I'm lying, I'm cheating, or I'm holding on to this resentment, or I'm gossiping, or I'm blaming, like these kind of things, these actions or activities that I'm doing, I'm stealing, lying, cheating, blaming, gossiping, gathering allies, anything like that that I'm doing, hold on the resentment, mm-hmm. or fuel the resentment, what might have I been thinking while I was doing these above actions? You know, it's like I'm watching myself do these things. Well, what's the thinking underneath that? Because while I'm doing actions, I'm really just on autopilot. I don't know what I'm thinking. I'm fucking just doing it. You know what I mean? So now I'm actually having to dissect it and look at, well, what may I have been thinking? And that's where I start to think, well, what might have my attitude been? And I take it out. I take out like a third person kind of looking at my attitude, like the director again. And I say, well, what was your attitude there? I'm the most important person in the world here. That's an attitude, you know? No one cares but me, my disease, and I'm the only one that matters in this world. You know, that's an attitude. Or I don't care much about them. You know, there's lots of examples too in the packet that I use, and I take them straight out of the example packet. But that's where I get into the attitude. And then I look in that attitude again, and what's underneath that was the delusions that are driving that attitude, the lies I tell myself about that. And sometimes, and this is my own experience, is the selfish attitude and the delusion are not very far off sometimes, because there's a lot of delusion in my attitudes. Just look at the third column, you know? So I'm seeing that, and I'll sometimes it's just a little word change or whatnot, and the delusions under that, and then what's underneath that is a fear. So I have to look at underneath. What's underneath this one and what's underneath this one. So I don't just grab from the here and grab from there. You know, I actually look at what I've written and then look at, well, what may I have been thinking? Well, what are the lies there? Does that make sense, Mariana? Okay. All right. Any other questions before I move on? We're getting into fear.
Hey, Joe.
Yes. Hi, yeah. Kimberly.
Hey, this is Kimberly, addict alcoholic. I don't have a question, but with what Mariana asked, it reminded me of what Tyler said last week, and it was really helpful for me. But basically, in terms of selfish, like, this, it's my cocaine and you can't have it, versus it's your cocaine and here's what I'm going to do to get it. That being mm-hmm. selfish, that helped. So hopefully that helps you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Kimberly. I'm sorry, I got lost on cocaine. Someone take cocaine. I was like, what? Where? Where is it? Huh? What's going on? Okay, here we are. The I want some. Give it to me. I got a teener. So we're on page 67, the bottom of 67. All right. So let's talk about fear. All right. So it says, notice that the word, we're going to read in the big book. Now I'm going to stop in the middle of this because the inventory is right in the middle of this, in this share, in the next paragraph, actually, two paragraphs. But it says, notice that the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties. The difficulties are in my third column. Okay, so we've already done the work here. Fear bracket, we've already done the fear. We've written the third column and we looked at the opposites. We've figured out the fears and they are on the right side, okay? That's the list that we're getting this from, all right? We have fears in the third column and then we have fears opposite each area of self in the third column and then fears on the backside, like Tyler said, it's like a statement. But there's a fear there, okay? And we mentioned last week, this is where we're getting our list of fears. Okay, so it says, the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, and the employer and the wife. This short word somehow touches every aspect of our lives. It touches every aspect, at least in the seven areas of self. Sometimes not pocketbook, if we didn't write on pocketbook, but every area of self it has touched. Fear has touched every area of my life. And I can look at my life, looking at my own life, I could see, well, what would my life look like without fear? Because it's going to say fear has stolen from me, right? Well, what would my look like if I, when the drugs were working and I was fearless on meth and drinking, what did that look like? You know, what did it feel like? Like, what would my life look like without fear, right? And I could see it has touched every aspect of my life. The fear, and I'm not talking about the fear of snakes and spiders, right? That's just like whatever. Or even the fear of losing what I have or not getting what I want. That to me is material fear. But like the fear of being alone will drive my entire life. I have gotten into relationships and stayed in them over the fear of being alone. I've been in unhappy relationships and not gotten out of them because of the fear of being alone. I have not gotten into relationships or got out of relationships because I was afraid they were gonna leave me because of the fear of being alone. You see, it's the opposite. I have the fear and the opposite of the fear. I have a fear of being alone and I have a fear of being in a relationship and they're together. But it can drive my entire life. The decisions I make have been based out of fear. What school am I gonna go to? Am I gonna go to school? Am I gonna quit my job? Am I gonna go to part-time and go back to school? All these decisions I have made in my sobriety have had a fabric of fear in them. And I have made decisions based on self, which later placed me in a position to be hurt of my own doing. Does that make sense? So it's like, I can look back in my life and see what decisions have I made? What relationship have I been in? What would my relationships look like if I was able to speak up for myself? What would my job look like if I could stand up to the boss a little bit better or tell them what I needed? Because I have such a hard time of expressing what I need to people. You know what I mean? I'm very easy at giving them what they need, but I'm very hard. I have a lot of fear around. They're not going to be able to satisfy me and I'm not going to bring that up to them. And I think getting sober, a lot of us have a hard time speaking up for ourselves. I had a hard time speaking up for myself and had a hard time saying, what do I need here in this relationship or what do I need from someone? And that there's a lot of fear behind that. And what had my life looked like had I been able to do that with everyone I came in contact with, you know? It's just something food for thought. But I'm starting to see in the seven areas of self how fear has affected my life, okay? How it touches every aspect of my life. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. And thank God this isn't about what I deserve. Because if I really got what I deserve, I shouldn't be here. This program is about grace and is about mercy. It is not about what I deserve. And for me to go around and telling people what I deserve or me telling me what I deserve, you know, I don't even deserve to be here right now. Like I said, I'm here of no virtue of my own, you know, and it is only through grace that I am here. And when I'm centered in my inventory, and let me say this after I get a drink of water, hold on. All that cocaine talk made me thirsty. So when I'm centered in my inventory, and I was talking to Dylan about this before the workshop. When I'm really centered in it, I have no right to judge anyone else based on their behaviors and what they do, when I'm really centered in my inventory. And that attitude has changed, has come from my realization. The things that I'd done to people, I was a tornado running through people's lives. I hurt fucking everybody. Do not come into the rooms and say the only person I hurt was myself. It's bullshit. That is the biggest crock of shit I've ever heard from an alcoholic. I'm selfish and self-centered to the core, and I hurt every person I was ever in contact with. And I'm saying that for me, and I know I'm speaking for a lot of other people too, but I was a tornado running through people's lives. And if I really got what I deserved, if I'm really centered in my inventory, I have no right to judge anyone else based on their behavior because of the things I've done. And I've done a lot worse to other people. I've done a lot worse to my mother. I was sharing with someone too. My mom, when I was 5 or 6 years sober, you know, I used to get so pissed off and resentful at her because she would still call me and be like, I haven't heard from you. What's going on with you? Are you okay? You know what I mean? And I'm like, bitch, I'm 5 years sober. Like, leave me alone. Like, don't you know who I am? Cause I'm sober now, you know? Like, someone owes me. Like, the world owes me because I'm fucking sober. I already destroyed a lot of it. You know what I mean? But and I start to see in my inventories, and I start to see in my life, I created that. I created a mother who worries sick about me even 5 years after I got sober. And I had a part in everything. I had mistakes everywhere. And I start to see that when I'm pissed off about something, I flip into the realization, or I flip into my self-seeking behavior, and I start to see I did that. That is the cause of what I did to that poor woman. And I could never make amends to fix that. You know, how do you fix that? Only time can heal that. So I really start to see these things in inventory and in my fourth column about what I did to others. And this inventory should start revealing. Mariana had a beautiful truth last time about her relationship with her mother and how that affected her relationships today. Like, perfect. That's exactly what I'm talking about here, is how the things I've held on to and the excuses I've done it with my father, I did it with my mother. You know, I had every right to hurt everyone I was ever in a relationship with because my father left me and I'm gay and don't you know who I am and all this other bullshit. And I start to see how I affect people in my life, you know? So when I'm really centered in inventory, I see that I have no right to judge anyone, okay? I'm sorry, I'm on a tangent. It says, but did we not ourselves set the ball rolling? Reacting out of fear. I set the ball rolling the way I reacted to fear, and you could see it in the fourth column. I saw how my fear creates a delusion because I can't sit in the fear. I create a delusion. Delusion is created and it's unbeknownst to me. I'm living in delusion and I didn't manifest, it just happened. I have a fear manufacturing plant inside my head and it just happens. I can't sit there. These things in the third column, these false notions in the third column, the role I've assigned you, what I need you to be, because I can't live in that fear. That's why I have so much behind that. The fear gives power to the third column, the false notions. And that's why they have so much power on them. And I need you to be who I need you to be. And I need to be who I need to be in the roles, and the relationship needs to look a certain way because I can't sit in that fear, you see. The truth is in the fear and I can't go there. And the fear in the fourth column, I see how it sets the ball rolling in the fourth column. It sets up the delusion, which sets up the attitude, which sets up the actions. And the third column, all the fear there fuels the third column, the false notions of the third column. They give power to the third column, okay? So I set it up. It says, we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. Now, in the original manuscript said as a sin, classified as a sin with stealing. But when this was written, you know, this was written into the Depression, and to steal from someone during that time was like a big deal. You don't steal from someone who has nothing in the Depression. And then another thought on this, which I love, is, I mean, how many people have stolen here? I mean, so I've stolen. I used to work, I was employee of the month and I was stealing from the cash register to pay for my meth habit, okay? And this was when I worked at SeaWorld a long time ago, and I made amends and I paid it all back and all that stuff. But I was working in the gift shop because I was like, you know, I worked in the gift shop there. It was a summer job and I stayed there for a while. And I knew all the processes. I knew where the cameras were. I knew how to do refunds and then take the money out of the till and put it in my pocket and how to adjust the amount stealing. It was a conscious event. It was a conscious choice. There was a lot of planning. There was a lot of planning to steal, how much I needed, what I needed to do, who was here, who's on the schedule. I mean, it was an event, you know what I mean? And I was just, you know, just taking a little off the top to, you know, pay for a teener here or there. And then, you know, employee of the month, stolen from the cash register, there it is. I remember taking a picture with the boss and stuff like that. Oh yeah, here he is, employee of the month. You know, I'm like, I'm stealing from you. It's a conscious choice. Stealing was a conscious choice, okay? The conscious choice here, which we're gonna get to, is I choose to rely on me. That's the choice here. Up to now, you know, up to a certain point in my life, I didn't realize that there might have even been anything else to rely on, okay? Until I went through this step work and got into AA. I abandoned the God idea entirely a long time ago. And so here I come to AA and I'm going through the steps and they're offering me this relationship, this three-part relationship, and the third step, you know, I'm going for this power, I'm writing inventory, and they're telling me to start to begin to rely on God, okay? To rely on this power that I call God. Up to that point, the only thing I could rely on was me and drugs, and that was it. And I was okay with that as far as it got me. It says, we reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. So Tyler mentioned last week as part of the homework, taking my fears from the third column and I put them on paper, right? So I take the list of the third column and I ask myself, do I have the opposite of that fear? Because not every fear is going to be in connection with my resentment inventory. So there's going to be some fears on there. I'm going to look at the opposites of those fears and also put them on there. So part of the homework was doing 15 fears. So I go to my first inventory. I look at the first fear. Maybe it's not good enough. I put that on the list. Then I ask myself, do I have a fear of being too good? And if I do, I write too good on there as well. Okay. Then I go to the next fear of being alone. Do I have a fear of not being alone? Maybe it's being in a relationship or being well-known or being popular, right? Because that's an opposite to me, is being popular. If you're popular, then you have to hold up to it. You know what I mean? So do I have that fear? I put that down. So these are fears that are not in connection with my inventory. Make sense? Okay. It says, we asked ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us had a great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Okay. Now, do you guys have your example sheet of fear in your four-step packet? All right. Let's pull this out really fast.
The grid.
Huh?
You mean the grid?
The grid, yeah. Yeah. What did I say?
I don't know. I just...
Okay.
No. I was just saying that because maybe they would understand it.
So let's go to that. And... All right. So column A is going to be my fears from the third column and the fourth column at the bottom, right? I'm afraid. And you know, this is to prove the point. We've been looking at how we're proving the statement on page 62 that selfishness, self-centeredness, that was the root of our trouble, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity. We step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. 100 forms of fear, right? I have like 10 inventories, seven fears on each inventory, 70 fears, maybe I have the opposites, 140 fears. You know, we're looking at 100 forms of fear here, just by that alone. So I'm writing my fears in the first column, all right? So in this example, it has not perfect, all right? And then underneath it, it has perfect, right? Everyone with me? Then it has not good enough, and then good enough. Then it has unable to work, and then it has less than model employee. Fear of being taken advantage of, fear of being not respected, fear of being defective, fear of being not acknowledged, fear of being confronted, fear of being underpaid, and fear of being not valued. You see, some of them have the opposites in them, okay? So I'm gonna fill out my first column list, and then I'm gonna add any other fears that maybe I have that weren't on any of the inventories. And then I'm going to start carrying them out. And the big book just said, we asked ourselves why we had them. So why do I have the fear of being not perfect? And I'm going to just read this one out, the first one, okay? If you guys just want to read along with me. So I have a fear of being not perfect. Why do I have the fear of not being perfect? Because if I'm not perfect, I'm going to be unwanted, right? Why do I have a fear of being unwanted? Because if I'm unwanted, I'm going to be alone. Why do I have a fear of being alone? I have a fear of being alone because if I'm alone long enough, I'm going to be suicidal. Why do I fear being suicidal? I have a fear of being suicidal because I fear being of dying. Why do I fear being dead? Because I fear that there is no God. Why do I fear there's no God? I fear there's no God, so I trust in self-reliance, even though self-reliance fails me. Okay? So that's how the example is reading out there. Let me read the next one. The next one, I'm going to read the next couple, actually. I have a fear of being perfect. Why do I have a fear of being perfect? I have a fear, because if I'm perfect, I have to repeat it. I have to keep being perfect. Why do I have the fear of repeating it? I have a fear that, why do I have this fear? Because I fear I can't repeat it. Why do I have a fear of not being able to repeat it? Because if I can't repeat it, I'm going to be a failure. Why do I have a fear of being failure? Because if I'm a failure, others will hate me. Why do I fear others will hate me? Because if others hate me, I'll be alone. Why do I fear being alone? Because if I'm alone, there's no God. Why do I fear no God? I fear there's no God, so I trust self-reliance, even though self-reliance fails me. So this is just an example packet. This is an example, okay? They might not read out this way in your inventory. Because with my own, I would say different words here. But that's just for me. Let me read the next one because I'm going to show you how it crosses out. Okay, so fear of being not good enough. I have a fear of being not good enough because if I'm not good enough, I'll be unliked. I have a fear of not being unliked because if I'm not liked, I'll be in emotional pain. I fear of being in emotional pain because if I'm in emotional pain long enough, I'll want to use. I have a fear of using because if I use, I'll die. I have a fear of dying because I fear there's no God. And no God is already written two above. So you'd put a X, you'd put a cross through it. You put a mark through it. You will not continue on because it is in the same column. Does that make sense? Norma, does that make sense? Okay. So if a fear is above it, you're not going to write any more on it because you already know how it plays out. Okay. Now, I'm going to read one more. It says, fear of being good enough. I have a fear of being good enough because if I'm good enough, I have to live up to it. I have a fear of living up to it because if I fear I can't live up to it. I have a fear of not being able to live up to it because if I don't, I'll be a failure. Failure is already written two above there. So I'm going to put a mark through it. I'm just going to put a line through it. So I'm not going to continue it. Make sense? Okay. So there's some like, if you look in the Big Book Awakening on page, does anyone have the Big Book Awakening? On page 64. On number 3, it says, why do I have this fear? They also have an example there. It says, I fear being not good enough. If I'm not good enough, I fear I'll be unwanted. I fear being unwanted. If I'm unwanted, I fear being alone. I fear being alone because if I fear the emotional pain of being alone. I fear sitting in emotional pain. If I sit in emotional pain long enough, I fear I'll drink again. I fear drinking because for me to drink is to die. I fear dying because I fear the unknown. I don't know what dying means. I fear the unknown because I fear there's no God. I fear there's no God, so I repeatedly trust self-reliance, even though I fear self-reliance fails me. And if you look underneath, it has like being alone leads to emotional pain, to drinking, to dying, to the unknown, to the no God, to self-reliance fails me. You could take that section right there and you could even write it above your inventory because these like on the top of the inventory, you're writing your fear inventory because these are some of the like common. You're gonna continue to see these come up. Emotional pain, drinking, if I drink, I'll die. If I fear dying because I fear the unknown, I fear the unknown. Because I don't really believe that there's a God there to catch me on the other side. I don't believe that there's a God, so I continue to trust in self-reliance, even though self-reliance fails me and ends with SRF. Does that make sense? So what I'm seeing here, does anyone have any questions as of right now? I'm gonna open it up first for that.
Joe, I think they have to understand that they have to finish each one a certain way.
What's that?
Right. They have to finish each one a certain way. Can you hear me?
A certain way. So yeah, like what I just said in the Big Book Awakening, how like.
Yes, but I don't know that that came across clear that we have to finish each sentence with that unless it's crossed out.
Oh, okay. I understand. So you, every fear, like the top one, they all, sorry if I wasn't clear on that. They're all gonna, the first one's probably gonna play out all the way. Okay. The first one plays out all the way. When you start getting, now, well, so there's more I wanted to say though too, because you could do this two ways. The Big Book Awakening suggests doing one column at a time. So you can do one column, the first column, and then you could go to the second column and just do each fear in the next column, and then go to the next column and go to the, and do those ones. And then you'll start to see as you continue on, the core fears on the right-hand side, okay? You're gonna see when they cross out, the first column is gonna have like 100 fears, let's just say 100. By the second column, you're gonna have like 50. The next column might have 25, then you're gonna have 15, then you're gonna have 10. The fears are always gonna go all the way out unless there's another fear that you're gonna cross out, okay? So they're, it's gonna play all the way out no matter what, unless there's another fear that you have to cross it out because you've already repeated it. Is that making sense? But they're all most likely gonna go, you're gonna see a lot of, I'm drinking, dying, unknown, no God, self-reliance fails. Like those are a lot of the core fears here, okay? Does anyone wanna do an example?
Take some out.
Yeah, that's what I was opening up to questions first, but then I want to take some out with people because I want to spend some time on this so everyone knows how to do this. Does someone want to do one?
Someone that's confused.
Who's new that first time through the work? Did you do your 15? Robert, did you do your 15?
Yeah, I get.
Okay, so read me like the first five fears.
So failure, and then the opposite of failure is success. Yes, I have that. Okay. The next one, so judged, and then the opposite of that is I'm afraid that I'm judgmental or that I judge people. So, and then five, you said the first five?
Yeah, just the first five.
Okay, no control.
Okay. So the first one was
failure.
So did you already play it out or no?
I have not. No.
Okay. I lost your video.
Okay. I'm still here. I got a call coming in, but can you still hear me?
Yeah. Just declined it.
Okay. Okay. I don't want to push that because I may screw it up here. So,
okay. But I can still hear you. Okay. So fear of failure. Why do I have a fear of failing? Why do I have a fear of failure?
It looks bad.
Okay, so I have a fear of, because it'll look bad. So put looking bad in the next column right there.
Right.
So I fear failing because I'll look bad. Why do I have a fear of looking bad?
Well, if I look bad, then I'm, you know, going to be rejected.
So no one will want to be around me, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so then maybe it's fear of being alone.
Or yeah, okay.
Okay. So alone. So why do I have a fear of being alone?
Well, I think it fits right in, you know, there's the pain associated with being alone.
Right. So then put emotional pain or EP or just pain.
Okay.
And that would be, I fear the emotional pain of being alone, right?
Correct.
Why do I fear emotional pain?
Well, if I sit in that for too long, then there's a good chance I'm going to drink and use.
Absolutely. Right. So drink or use, whatever it is. If it's using, put using. If it's drinking, put drinking, whatever.
Okay.
Why do I fear drinking and using?
Because it'll kill me.
Okay, because I'll die.
Right? Right.
Why do I fear dying?
Well, what if there's no God?
Okay. So right? It could be, so that's fine. It could be, I fear that there's no God on the other side to catch me. It could be unknown, then no God. It could just be no God. That's fine.
Okay.
So, no God.
Okay.
All right. So I fear there's no God. Next would be, I trust self-reliance, even though I know self-reliance fails me. So after no God, it's going to be SRF. Because if there's nothing else to rely on but me, if there's no God to rely on, I'm just going to rely on me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So even though I fear that there's no God, I'm going to trust in self-reliance, even though I know it fails me. Okay? So that's how that plays out. So then let's go to the next one underneath that.
Okay, so success.
Success. I have a fear of success. Why do I have a fear of success?
It's impossible to maintain.
Okay, so I have to live up to it.
Yeah.
So why do I have a fear of living up to that? I'll fail.
Because I can't do it.
Okay, so put failure. So you already have failure in that first one, but it's not in the same column, so you're going to continue to write on it. You yeah. only cross out a fear if it's in the same column above it, okay? So
yeah, failure. But now with the failure, doesn't it roll out the same way that I've already?
It might.
Okay.
It could, but you're still going to write it all out, okay? Okay? Unless a fear above it is the same and you cross it out, okay?
Only in the same column.
Only in the same column, top to bottom.
Okay, because in the past when I've done this, as soon as I got to a fear that I'd already written out, I
no.
just repeat. Okay, so you want to take into, you want to consider if it's a different, you know, it may not play out the same way.
May not, right. But yeah. But so then you're going to play that one out. Now your sheets should have, so that's why Tyler said take two sheets together because you might yeah. not have enough space going across. Gotcha. You might need to continue it. So that's why we taped two sheets together. There were the longer sheets, I believe, the vertical one.
Or
the
vertical.
Vertical, two sheets together. Right, so you're gonna tape one next to the other one. So you have more columns going across this way and you have a lot of columns. Yes, Jessica, perfect, looks good.
And you can also show, Mariana has it finished. She can just hold it up.
So that way we have more space going across this way to play out. Mm-hmm. Nice, Mariana. So she taped three, four.
She's got it.
So with a lot of resentments and a lot of different fears, I've seen fear inventories to the ground.
Right, Joe? We've seen them with 5 feet long, remember?
It was like a map of the world or something. It was huge. Yeah. So... But I will suggest this. When you're writing the fear inventory, you do want it to, you want it to end. You don't want to keep sight. You could loop this thing all freaking day and go on to eternity, but we're not doing that here. It's like, let's get down to it. Let's get down to, it's going to get to like, I'm going to drink and use. I'm going to die. No God, self-reliance fails. Die, unknown, no God, self-reliance fails. So I'm going to start to see that in every one of these things. Is that making sense? Tyler, do you want to add anything?
Well, that was so good, Joe. One of the things is that I have them right across the top of the page because they have to finish that way. To me, they have to finish with drink, die, unknown, no God, self-reliance fails. Because I want them putting unknown, because if they really thought God was on the other side of this to catch them, they wouldn't have the fear. Do you know what I mean?
Right. So, and I agree with that. But the only problem with this example packet is
I know,
not in there.
But I know it isn't. But that's how old that is?
What's that?
That was David Maddie's. You know how old it was?
Yeah, I know. So that's why I was mentioning they're all right here. In the Big Book Awakening, underneath that column three, how it has being alone to emotional pain to drinking.
But if I put them across the top, then I can just look up.
Yeah. Easy.
And know. That's what Mariana did. You know, that if they just put pain dash drink dash pain dash drinker use dash die dash unknown dash no God dash self-reliance fails. If that, they have to finish each one like that. That's to, you do it like that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but it's helpful to put it on top of the page. That's yeah. just the difference.
Does anyone else want to do some? Or is there any questions? It's so much easier in a room setting because I usually use a
well, one of the things, Joe, one of the things too is the biggest confusion is crossing out across columns. Mm-hmm. People get so screwed up on this.
So I've done this two ways. I've done it the way the Big Book Awakening actually suggests, which is doing one column top to bottom, mm-hmm. going to the next column top to bottom,
mm-hmm.
going to the next column top to bottom. I find that that way it's easier to see the fear that to cross out.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
The only problem I found with doing it that way is I like taking them out each fear.
Me too.
I like writing each fear out one at a time.
Me so too.
While I'm in the fear, it's easier to stay in that fear as opposed to going, okay, I'm switching mm-hmm. from this fear. Now I'm switching to this fear. And it's like, I'm going to have an emotional heart attack here. So I'm going from fear to fear to fear to fear this way. And I'm just doing them all like this, like this, like this. It's easier to just cross them out this way. But you, like Mariana's is so big. You might have to get a big place on the ground that you're sitting to look up and make sure that that fear is not up there. Already to cross mm-hmm. out. Although I have played them all out before, I've done it that way too. So I don't recommend that, but I've just wanted to play them all out and write them all out, and they all kind of end the same. So, and sometimes though, I will say that my being alone goes straight to using, you know, I've gone suicidal. Sometimes you go depression to suicidal to dying. You know what I mean? Sometimes there's no drugs involved at all. Sometimes it's just, I'm depressed and I'm going to fucking jump off a bridge. You know what I mean? So it might alter a little bit, but the main thing is going to be that they're dying, unknown, no God, self-reliance fails. Because what I'm really looking at here in this fear grid is I'm looking at my agnosticism. Okay. This is like a grid of agnosticism. This is how well have I really been relying on this power? Because if I look at this fear grid backwards, once I've written it, a simple belief or reliance on God is going to cancel out each of those fears in a backwards way. Okay. So if I'm not afraid of, well, mm-hmm. I'm not relying on myself anyway, if I'm relying on God, I know that there's going to be a debate there, but so this is a practice of trusting and relying upon God. So I'm relying on God. I'm not going to fear the unknown because I know God's there on the other end to catch me. I'm not going to be drinking and using because I'm dependent and reliant upon a power greater than myself. You know, so each fear is going to cancel out the other way. But what I'm seeing here in this grid is I'm seeing agnosticism alive in my life, right? This is the reality of how well have I really been relying and trusting upon a power greater than myself in these resentments? Because I'm seeing it right here. It's agnosticism. It's present day agnosticism. And I could tell you and talk hours about God, and I could talk, I have whole conversations about God, but am I actually relying upon that which I'm talking about? And my grid is showing me that I'm not, okay? And there might be little areas where I am, and there might be times that I am, but these fears are driving my life, you see? And I've seen it in the third column. And when I get freedom from this, Felicia, do you have a question?
Yeah, but I was listening. I'll wait.
Well, when I get freedom from this, when I see that I'm starting to outgrow my fear, I'm going to see that the thinking in the third column might still be there, but it doesn't have as much power in my life. I'm going to start seeing that in my sobriety. I may think the things when column one does column two, I may start thinking that in column three, but it's not going to drive me as much as it drove me before. Because the fear doesn't have a hold of me like that. Go ahead, Felicia.
Okay. So thank you for what you were sharing. Felicia, alcoholic codependent. I was back on the crossing them out in the particular column. I've never done it where we crossed it out because it's not in the same column type of thing. I agree though with the fact that, not that I agree or disagree, that's not here or there, but what I had noticed in working, doing it myself as well as working with others is that I don't always automatically just cross it out just because it had come up before. I kind of look to see, is it in the same context, right?
So, no. Yeah.
No?
You're okay. Talking about what Robert just
said. It's in the same column. That's it, honey. If it's not in the same column, you don't cross it out. You know what I mean? Does that make sense, Felicia?
Because what I meant by that is say, can you hear me?
Yeah, baby. I'm
not sure.
I can hear you.
Did I lose you?
No.
No.
Can you hear us?
We can hear you.
Felicia. I think she's
okay.
Paused.
So it's just.
Oh.
Okay. So hopefully this is okay. So what I meant by that is just say I get in fear because being left out. But the way it comes up when it's with on a fear that has to do with, say, personal might be different than when that comes up in a work context that kicks up financial insecurity. And the way I answer after that is different. That's what I meant by that.
Doesn't matter.
But, so I had the focus hadn't been on what column is it? No.
You know what, Felicia? I just want to, this is so good you asked that question because this is a, Joe will tell you this, the fear grid is the place that we've had the most difficulties with other people and people getting away from the way Dan Sherman taught it. So it's probably okay. The way Dan Sherman taught it, the way that is in the Big Book Awakening, which if you look at the example, you can only cross out in the same column, yes. Not across columns. And there's no analysis of the fear like okay. You're talking about. Go on, Joe.
Yeah, I wouldn't try and analyze it because the fear is fear itself anyway. It doesn't matter where it's going. Like okay. If it's going into work or if it's going into a personal relationship, it's still-
Well, I just want to say real quick, because it's such a good thing you said that, because you know what? Sometimes we think about looking at it and analyzing, that's such a good point. But when fear is on us, we never look at it. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if the fear came from here or from there, because when fear's on me, I automatically, even today with long-term sobriety, will rely on self, because I feel I can get that fear off of me some way fast, and God just may take too long. So does that make sense? So that was just a great, great input, you know?
All right. Thank you.
And I'm here if you need to call and want to go over anything.
Okay. So if the fear comes up in the same column, that's where you cross it off.
Yes.
If not, then keep going.
Yes.
Okay.
Is there anyone that needs some more clarity on anything? Chris, Don, Dom, you have a hand up. Is it on purpose?
Yeah.
Okay. What's up?
Joe, you know when you went backwards?
Yeah.
So how do you, I see what you were saying, but I got stuck on one. So if I'm going backwards and I do believe in God, so I'm not afraid of dying. And then then the next one would be, I was afraid of drinking and using. How do I change that? Because if I'm not afraid of dying, then I wouldn't be afraid of drinking or using, but obviously that's wrong. So how do you get past the drinking and using to get to the next fear behind it?
So you're saying that you still have a fear of drinking and using?
Well, yeah, even though, yeah, I would.
Okay. Tyler, do you want to talk about that?
Hear the line that you're talking about. Read it from
your fear. He's talking about going backwards.
Well, you don't need to look at going backwards.
Yeah, I know.
You just to go forward.
You don't need to look at going backwards. It's just a way of thinking of it. Like if I was really dependent and reliant upon God,
would I ever be afraid of being alone?
I still have all these fears in my life driving off. Yeah. Makes sense.
But
about the fear.
I know the caution. I know that there's going to always be a caution of drinking and using, but the fear of drinking and using that I'm going to die, like, how would I word this? The fear that drove me that I was going to drink and use in the beginning of my sobriety is completely different than the fear I have by drinking and using now. Let me just say it that way. When my first couple years sober, me doing the work was, you better fucking do this or you're going to die. You know what I mean? You're going to drink and you're going to die. It had so much power on me. It had so much power on me. I mean, I couldn't even shop at the fucking grocery store without looking at ingredients of alcohol and everything I was buying. I mean, I was looking at lotion. I was looking at toothpaste. I spent hours at the store because I was so afraid of drinking and using that it was going to set off the craving and I was going to die. And I'll tell you now that my relationship with God and my dependence upon a creator greater than myself, my living sobriety now is I do not feel that way at all. I'm sober for good and for all. I understand the fear behind drinking and using, and I know that it's always on the table, but I am not driven by that fear like I have been. Does that make sense? Absolutely. There's no way. And the fear of going places and doing things and living life, I can't go here because of drugs and alcohol, and I can't go to the bar. I'll fucking go to the bar if I want. You know, I'll go wherever I want if I want to go. I might do a little meditation. I'm not stupid, but I'm going to, I'm going to have fun. You know, I'm going to dance. I'm not going to sit in a cave because I'm sober. And I'm not going to sit in a meeting all goddamn day either. That's not just the way I want to live my life. I don't have that fear that drove me in the beginning of my sobriety that I do now. And I'm not saying that that's bad, because I think that that got me to where I needed to get. My first 5 years sober, I was in the big book constantly. I went through the steps constantly. And you know what I found? I found I was relying on the step work rather than relying upon a relationship with God. I'm relying on my sponsor. I'm relying on the meetings. I'm relying on the things that AA has taught me rather than relying on the thing that it brought me to. You know what I mean? I'm not sober to not live my life. I'm not sober to continue to rely on meetings everywhere I go. I'm not sober to continue to rely on everything my sponsor tells me, because maybe they're not always right. No offense. I'm not saying anything to anyone, but I have to get into my own life. You know what I mean? And I have to be dependent and relying upon a power greater than myself. And that takes practice. I've lived my whole life relying on me. I didn't get sober till I was 27 fucking years old. And I've been living myself on myself with myself for 27 years. And now I'm sober, and this is gonna be a practice. It's gonna be a practice to trust and rely on God. And as I do that, which I'm gonna continue to read in a minute, my fear is gonna start subsiding in certain areas of my life. And I'm gonna see that living becomes a little bit easier for me, a lot easier for me. And I'm not living afraid. I'm not living like that fear inventory showing me how I've been living. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry, I went on a little tangent there.
Nope, that's fantastic.
Okay. Awesome.
More questions? No.
If anyone's having trouble with the fear grid, you know, I'm available a lot, and Joe is available on the weekend, Joe.
Yeah, I'm available. Just text me first. Help. Text me first, and we'll set up a time if you need help with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to continue. If no one has more questions, I'm just going to continue to read for the rest of this, because there's a little bit more to read in this.
I just have one other question. Yeah. It's just, I never saw this before, which I'm a little bit having a moment here, but there's a number four, harms. Look at your fears, write how your fears cause harm and to whom. I've never seen that before.
Oh yeah, harms. Tyler, you write that at the top.
Harms. Look at your fears. Write how your fears caused harm and to whom. But that's handled in the bottom of the fourth column.
You still do that in the bottom of the fourth column.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to write harms from all those fears. I mean, you can.
If you're writing your inventory, and a harm comes up, you're gonna put it down.
Yeah. Okay. So it's more like a reminder of like looking around the whole thing. And okay, that makes sense.
I was like,
did I miss a step?
Jan Sherman never talked to me about that. And for me, I mean, when I have a fear grid with 300 or 400 fears on it, how would I do that? There may be one or two things that really show up a lot. Like if I see something show up on a fear grid over and over again, like reject it, I may have that person write a self-defeating belief on that, because that is something may show up a lot more like alone, right? Can show up a lot more, and there may be a belief behind it, you know? Does that make sense, Vanessa? But yes. I don't do that. You can though, but I don't even, Dan never talked to me about that.
Anytime in inventory, like I already said, when you're writing on a fourth column, a fear can crop up, or harm can crop up that you have, that happened. I had no writing about it at all. And in the fifth step, before we get to the fifth step, it's gonna ask if there's any other harms that are not connected to inventory. So if this fear inventory brings up any harm, you should jot it down and make a note of it, because it will have to write it down before the fifth step. Yes.
I get it. It's more of a reminder. Okay. Thank you.
Also, like the fear of being alone, how much harm did I cause to other people from the fear of being alone? I caused a lot of harm to people to try to take care of that fear. You know what I mean? And relationships and friendships and things I hung on to that should have been, oh my God. So if you see it when you're writing your fear grid, make a note of it, like Joe said.
Okay. You guys have another question? Is your hand is still raised, Kristen, Dom? No question, nothing? Okay. I'm gonna continue reading. All right, so perhaps there's a better way. All right, I'm reading in the big book, page 68. We think so, for we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We're in the world to play the role he assigns. So in my inventory, I've been seeing up to this point is how I've been playing the roles I've assigned, and I'm assigning roles to everyone else. This is in that whole spirit, this is telling me now that I'm going to be in the world to play the role he assigns. Just to the extent that we do as we think he would have us and humbly rely on him, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity? And that is a promise. It says we never apologize to anyone for depending upon our creator. In this paragraph is going to say that twice. The only paragraph I think in the big book that says twice that we don't apologize for God. And I don't know, the meetings I've been to, a lot of times no one even brings up the topic of God. And if you bring up the topic of God, it's almost like you said a bad word. I'm not going to shy away from that, especially in our society. So our society is built on this big book in Alcoholics Anonymous. And my big book has a lot of stuff about God in it. So as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous in the society that I come from, I'm not going to shy away from it, you know. And in the groups and the meetings that I've been to, like Big Book Awakening meeting, it was the first meeting that I had been to where they actually were talking about God. They were talking about amends. They were talking about finishing amends. And they were talking about 10 and 11 and living on a spiritual basis and helping newcomers and being fresh with that and going through the work every year. So these are the things that the meeting was talking about. And I wanted to be a part of that meeting because I don't need to apologize for my work in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't need to feel uncomfortable at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous when I'm sharing about this stuff. But I do try and share it now. I mean, for a long time, I wouldn't share very tactful. You know, if someone said something, I'd get up after them and be like, that's bullshit. You know what I mean? And I'm like in mainstream meeting, just like calling people out. I was such an asshole. So I try and share a little bit more tact because I don't want to come from that place. But, you know, when you calls it, you seize it. because part of that fear, too, was I knew what we were dealing with and what we were up against. And when I saw the truth about inventory, about fear, about my alcoholism and my addiction, and I'm thinking about the newcomers in the meeting, I felt very passionate for them because really this is about the newcomer. I know a lot of us here have a lot of time and we've been through the work a lot, but never lose sight of the newcomer. It is always about the newcomer. I am here to bear witness to the newcomer, and they're going to look at my attitude. They're going to look at what I do. They're going to look how I share. They're going to listen to what I do. They're going to watch how I walk, whether you think so or not. And my life in AA has got to revolve around that because I'm here to help others. And I know what I'm up against. And this can save people's life because it saved my own. And that's the attitude I have when I go into meetings and when I'm sharing about this stuff. So that's why I can come across very passionate. But I also want to help people who are new, you know? So I take this work and I try and give it to as many people as I can. Because it saved my life.
Hold on a second, Joe. And did you see Annette's text? Annette can't get back on the meeting. Are we locked, the meeting?
Nope. And it's not showing that she's trying to get back on, so.
Oh, she said she couldn't. She just texted me.
Okay.
I'll text her. Thank you. Sorry, Joe.
Tell her to try again.
I will, honey.
Okay. You want me to wait a minute?
No.
Okay. It says we can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness, period, paradoxically is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. It says that faith means courage, right? I'm going to have fear, but I'm also going to have faith and courage. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to have fear, and I'm going to have courage at the same time. I'm going to have fear and faith. I believe fear and faith can live together. I believe that through fear, I acquire faith, and I have faith through the fear. And I do believe that fear can also be a good pellet in my life and my sobriety. And I fear that faith can be a noose around my neck, because if I'm still relying on the faith that I've always had, I'm not going to try and go further. And fear can be a very big driving force in my life and can get me back into the work and get me back working with others. So, but fear and faith do coexist for me in my life. It says, and this is the fear prayer. Each inventory is going to take me to prayer, and this is a prayer of fear. It says, we ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. At once we commence to outgrow fear. Now I'm going to outgrow it like a child outgrows his clothes. It's going to outgrow. I'm not going to not have fear, but I'm going to start outgrowing fear in my life as I continue to trust and rely on God. And this is going to happen later in 10 and 11 as I'm going through my day. You know, as I'm practicing, trusting and relying, pausing and turning, this prayer is probably the biggest prayer I use in my life. When something crops up for me, when a resentment crops up for me, I ask God to remove my fear and direct my attention to what he would have me be. And then I direct my attention to helping others. I turn my thoughts to helping others. I do what I can, you know, when I'm there, when I'm present. And that's part of a 10-step practice for me. Is God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. And this is the prayer that I use probably most often in my life, because I know how fear can, I have a fear manufacturing plant inside me and it will drive me. So that's all I have to share. Is there any other questions or anything else that anyone wants to talk about?
I want to give the homework to
you. I know, Tyler, you got to
give okay, the homework. I got one question.
Talk about sex inventory. What's mm-hmm. up?
Hold on. Don Reed's got a question.
I got a question. Is there anything wrong with writing the fear all the way across each one, or do you have to stop?
You're going to stop naturally because you're going to be crossing out.
You mean just not crossing any of them out and just writing them
exactly.
all
out? Exactly.
No. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just more work. If you want to do it, you can do it.
But I think I get more out of it.
No, but it will... You won't get the point of it. The point of it is to show you how the fears diminish down to two or three main fears.
Okay.
If you don't cross out, you'll never see that.
Okay. They'll all be on the right side. But
okay, thank you, Tyler.
Yeah, and feel free to call me or Joe if okay. you have questions that I can help you take some out if you need the help. So Joe can.
All the way across is what they're saying.
Thank you,
sweetie. I take them across, and so does Joe, but I cross out in the same columns.
Okay.
Maybe Mariana can hold hers up, and yeah, you can hold see it. Mariana, can you hold up your first page closely so he could see? I don't know if he can see it because it's so dark in the room you're in. Can you see that?
Not
I have one, Tyler.
Okay. It's a little dark where you are.
You have to where I am.
You guys
no,
have
to no.
back it up. Screen.
Back it up a little. Can hold it up a little higher. Can you see that?
She needs to talk.
Hello, it's me, Marie.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you see it?
Yep.
I get it.
Is that enough?
I just want
to. Can
make
you see how there's less fears as it goes out to the right?
Yes.
Good morning. Yes, baby.
Okay.
Any other questions?
It's a simple program.
All right. Don't be afraid of this inventory.
I'm embracing it.
All right, Kyla, you want to go over the homework and the schedule and the
If everyone will just open up, if you don't want to open it up, I will. It will be assignment 18 for your homework.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which you will complete the fear grid. If you're in the assignment packet, it's good to go by that and have your sponsees go by it. Then you're going to put in, you're going to put the Big Book Awakening in the sex inventory, the bottom of page 68 to the top of page 71. Sorry. And then you're going to make a list of relationships. I have a note here, make a list of only your major relationships the first time through. So you're going to do everything in the order. You should have already transcribed the fear part of the big book in your big book. Now you're going to complete the fear grid, and then you're going to transcribe into this bottom of page 68 to the top of page 71 in the sex inventory. Transcribe first, and then in quiet time, prayer and meditation, ask God to reveal to you what names need to go on that first column list, and sit and write that first column list. I say major relationships the first time through because you know if you were like me, you could have too many, but you might not be like, you know, acting out like I did. But also I put together, like, I had a lot of short-term meaningless hookup relationships, and I just wrote one inventory on it. Short-term under 1 month hookup relationships, and I just put it all, I grouped it together, and probably some of it was grouped. No, just kidding. I'm not, God, Kimberly, Mariana, oh, you know, I'm not there yet. So anyway, so you can use this is a conduct inventory. This is conduct inventory, okay? It probably in today's world, if he wrote it, he would probably say now about intimacy. But this is my motives in relationships. And you can write other relationships in this. You can write God. My number one relationship is God, should be God in my life. You can write God in it. First time through, I try to get people to stick with their major romantic major relationships because I think it can get too much. But if you feel guided to write something else, that's okay. So you're going to write that list, and you're going to bring the list with you next week. I will go over sex inventory with you, and we will look to make sure that it's doable. And whoever's partnering, look at and see that it's doable. Does anybody have any questions on the homework?
No, I have a question.
Sure.
Can you hear me? So also my current relationship as in my marriage?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If people, and Joe's does this too, if people that I'm working with are married and they tell me, well, I don't need to write on my husband. Oh, yes, you do. Because God's going to reveal things to take you further. And it's not going to happen in your head. It's going to happen in your spirit. And so you have to be willing to write on it to see what God reveals.
Yeah.
Like Jerry better be on yours, Joe.
You could have relationships. Like Tyler was talking about the other week, they're in a relationship with her and they don't even know it.
Listen, I wrote on a relationship one time, you guys, and this is in sobriety. The relationship only happened in my head. Yeah. I had no real relationship, but it was there. And it was real. I knew it wasn't real, but I had been fantasizing enough about it that I wrote about it. And I know none of you probably do that, right, Lisa? None of you do that, but I did.
I love it.
Does anybody else have any questions on the homework?
All right.
Listen, I want to just acknowledge what an incredible job you did tonight, Joe. It was so good. Awesome. Okay.
Woo-hoo, Joe.
Woo-hoo. So good. Joe, back to you to take us out.
Okay. Well, let's close with serenity prayer. Rick, do you want to say the Serenity Prayer? I see you yawning over there.
Fucker. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can. Amen.
And thank you so much, everyone. We'll see you next
time. We're real.